Welcome back to another episode of the Statues Podcast. With me, I have my co-host, Crystal. And on today's episode, I wanted to talk about doing things for ourselves now. And what I mean by doing things for ourselves is, I guess this came along, like, this thought came to me yesterday as I was driving, was majority of my career had been spent me doing things for other people and not me doing things for myself anymore. So since the beginning of my career, it was always me offering to assist other people with videography or photography. And then that ended up developing into me helping artists and then kind of staying on that train and then never really hopping off of it. And so eventually it just got to a point where I was comfortable with helping people, but I wasn't sure what I wanted for myself anymore. And so yesterday while I was driving, I was listening to another podcast and a thought had come up about what he had said. And what he said in the podcast was something along the lines of, are we really doing what we want to now, or are we just so comfortable with doing what we're so used to? I'm so used to doing this because I've been doing this since 2013. So I've been doing this for almost 8 years straight, back to back. I think the only time that I was the happiest and was doing something for myself was when I was doing music for a little bit. And that was the happiest that I felt that I had ever been. But then I lost, I guess I lost the drive and the motivation to do music when I got a deal.
Okay.
Because now I was no longer doing it for myself. I was told what to do.
Why do you think it killed your drive? Is it because on the contract it stated, like, for example, okay, you needed to accomplish this, this, and this. This is the timeline that you have to do it. So now that you were given, like, let's say if it was a short timeline and you had, you know, five things to do, it was more of like your creative ability was now put to the test. And then because it was so short, you were like, oh man, like you're bumping into that wall. Do you feel that's why?
Maybe. Majority of it came down to I've always been a very slow learner since I was a kid. If I'm really into something, I'm into it. I will learn about it within the day. I will learn about it within the next, like the week. And I should be able to do it. This is how I got into because I went to school for television broadcasting, but that's how I got into music videos. That's how I got into photography. That's how I got into music production. That's how I got into vocal recordings. Was because these are the things that interested me, and I wanted to learn about it. So I was very hyper-focused on those things when I wanted to be.
Okay.
And so I guess that followed me throughout my career was when I want to do something, I can do it. But when I'm told to do something, it becomes almost like an order that drives me away from doing certain things.
Is it like someone taking your freedom away from you to do something that you love to do?
Yeah, because music was something that was very therapeutic for me. So the only reason I got into music was because I had no other outlet and no other means for myself to release content. Everything that I did was for other people. So they had, like, I worked with a lot of dancers, and so I did a lot of dance videos for them, so choreography videos. But that was their outlet. So they could do it, but I was just the person behind the camera doing it for them. And it's not that I didn't like my job or I didn't love what I was doing. I do. I love everything that I do. But in terms of doing something specifically just for myself, that one time of doing music for myself and doing what I'm doing right now for myself is the only time in my life that I feel like I'm finally doing something for myself.
Do you think maybe like during that time when you were offered the contract, because the only thing that's sort of different is that when you didn't have it, it was more so whenever you wanted to do it, whenever you felt like it, whatever, but rather the contract was, here's the timeline of, let's say, 1 year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, to me, like, how I see it is that, like, there is only, the only thing difference is time.
Yeah, because my contract, when I got it, it stated that the second half of the year was when I had to release an album. And then the first half of that year was me releasing singles leading up to that album. And then the second year of my contract was me touring with that album. I think for me, it was just a lot of pressure to be able to produce that much. Mm-hmm. When before that, it wasn't, it's not that I couldn't produce it, mm-hmm. but the music that I was putting out was at a pace that I was comfortable with because it was for me and only me.
Is it because you enjoyed the process of making your own music on your own time? Because you really can think about like what it is that you want to, like, you think about the message you want to get across. You know, you think about like the story that you have behind what it is you're writing, but rather, and it's not that that's being taken away during that restricted time. It's just now it's forced and then you have to get things done like really quickly.
Yeah, because like the thing about me is that when I write, I don't write a song in a day. Mm-hmm. That song, so let's say one song that comes to mind that I wrote was Glassheart. Glassheart wasn't written in a day. Glassheart was actually written in a period of 3 months. It came in stages where the first verse was why I wrote it. Mm-hmm. But then the chorus of that song came because it came like maybe like 2 weeks later was like, I woke up and I had a nightmare. And then it came to me, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to write about this. So I wrote about it. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of that song came like a week after all that. Mm-hmm. And then there comes the recording process. So it's not just the lyricism for me. It's about the recording process as well. Like,
you're a perfectionist. I've seen you sit there or, you know, stand, whichever you choose, and go over the same line, or even it could be a word. If one word isn't right, you're very meticulous about it, and you'll start over and over and over until you feel satisfied, even if it means you spend 3-4 hours doing that same verse.
Yeah, and that was the beauty of doing music for myself, was like, even the perfectionism for it, okay, even the a single enunciation of a word, that was for myself, and I loved it. It wasn't for anyone else. It wasn't for people listening. It wasn't for, you know, the record label. It wasn't for anyone. It was just for me. And so the final product was the most beautiful thing for me. Mm-hmm. But then when it came to having, you know, like a manager and a record label, it was, everything was time crunched. Everything was, okay, we need this done. We need this done. We want this done from you. We want this done from you. We need this by this time. And I guess it just killed the drive and the motivation to write music, because a lot of what I write is about me and my life. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm not experiencing life, I don't have anything to write about. And a lot of what I'm experiencing, it needs time to process for me to even write about that stuff. So it's not a period of, you know, like, oh, I can write a song within a week and then, you know, have it done. I need to be able to process what I've gone through. I need to be able to think about everything and then formulate that into words. Because mm-hmm. at that point, it's just emotions. It's just a feeling that I have. Mm-hmm, so true. Formulating it into words is a whole nother process that was extremely hard for me as well.
Mm-hmm, because I know that part is very hard, because you feel something, but then sometimes you can't put it into words, or maybe you're worried about, if you were to say this, maybe the people who listen to your music won't understand you, because the way you portray emotions is very different.
Yeah. And as an artist, I think the hardest thing was knowing that my lyrical growth was happening at the same time. So I didn't want to, I don't want to say not write, but I knew that the way I was writing was starting to change. Mm-hmm. And so being forced to write because of my record label and because of my manager was the hardest, was because it just didn't feel right anymore. It was no longer right. Like, you know, the way I write now, it's got a lot more punch to it.
Mm-hmm. It's very different from how you used to write your music back then, because back then you did write music that was a little, I guess, in just to put it short, was like a little dark compared to some of the other music you wrote. You wrote like really happy love songs, but what attracted people to your writing was the dark stuff. But sometimes it's not easy to be so open about that stuff.
Yeah, and I think that was the hardest part, because as much as it was the happiest time of my life being able to finally do something, finally just for myself, because mm-hmm. it's like I've said, like my entire career was based off helping other people. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I always felt like I didn't have anyone I could relate to. And so doing these things for myself was a way for me to relate to myself mm-hmm. instead of having other people relate to me. Because I worked with artists, I worked with dancers, I worked with, you know, everyone within the entertainment industry. But there was no one like me that I could relate to. And so I felt like only I could relate to myself. And that was the only time. And now too, is this is the first time in 5 years that I'm able to feel the happiest that I feel doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, even with podcasting, this is the happiest that I've been, because it's stressful. Yes, releasing 2 episodes a week, almost an hour long each, and then doing sound bites, and then the promotional aspect of podcasting.
Or even thinking up content too.
Yeah. But this is the happiest because each episode is almost like therapy for me, the way it was when I was doing music. It's just another way for me to
express yourself.
Yeah. And now that I'm able to do that, it feels like a huge weight off my chest every time I do it. Mm-hmm. Like, even being able to, because we do have guests lined up. Yeah. And I'm excited about it, because for the last 5 to 6 years, my life has been so revolved around other things that my perspective on life is very narrow right now. A lot of people, when they look at me, they always say, oh, wow, you have a very, very different way of thinking. And my way of thinking, yes, I do agree that it's different because of the way I grew up mm-hmm. with my parents, and then the way the situation that I was put in when I was living with you guys. Mm-hmm. So those two things have broadened my perspective on life, yes, but
things got hard. So it's like, because of that, it was, you had to put on like the blinders, and you were like, okay, this is the way that I have to go about it because of the situation I'm in.
Yeah, that was something brand new to me. Mm-hmm. Was this whole new perspective on life. And now that I'm finally able to do this podcast, and the whole point of this podcast is to give people perspectives on life, perspectives on things that they're going through, mm-hmm. to help them the way I was helped, being given perspective along this journey that I've been on. It feels amazing that I'm finally able to do stuff for myself. And like, even for you, like being able to see you finally do things for yourself instead of being told what to do or how to do certain things. One example for you that I'm like really proud of is you making the decision to go back to school for something that you wanted. Mm-hmm. You've never had the option about what you wanted to go to school for. It was, you had to go for this, and there was no option after that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think for me, I felt a little bit more like, being back where I was before, it was a little bit harder, was like during high school, I had decided that I wanted to get into the healthcare field because I wanted to help people. You know, for me, even if I'm not there, I still want to help people. Always. I will always want to help people, even if it's, I'm not going to say at the cost of my own happiness, because I've learned it the hard way that I will never do that, but I still want to help. But I think it was grade 12 towards the end, I decided, I was like, hey mom, I don't think I'm suited for this, because when you are in healthcare, you see a lot of people dying. You see a lot of people who are very sick, and I'm a very emotional person, so I can't emotionally detach myself, like in a sense where like it's not going to affect me if someone were to pass away right in front of me.
Yeah.
So I told my mom, I said, hey mom, I don't think I can do this. I think I'm just going to go to business school, because it was either being a doctor or you know, really being a doctor or going into business.
Yeah, the typical Asian stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it was very hard, because regardless, none of it was what I wanted to do.
Yeah, because I know that in grade 11 and 12, you were focused on wanting to become a baker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were kind of stripped of that choice after grade 12. And like, that's why I say is like high school really doesn't prepare you much for after.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, even for me, I went to school for television. But television was never something that I wanted to do. I just wanted to be in front of a camera. And eventually I had to break out of that. And I only finished school for the sake of finishing school, but I started focusing a lot more of my content on music.
Yeah.
Instead of like television stuff. And so that journey itself was a journey that I had to go and take for myself. And I'm glad that I did take it, because mm-hmm. it's led this far. But I know for you, you were stripped of all those choices.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know how they say, like, don't live with regret.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that I do regret, is that I didn't give myself the opportunity or at least pushed harder to do what I wanted to do. So even till this day, you know, like even if I'm deciding to go back to school for something else, I will always have that regret inside of me, questioning if I had pushed harder, if I had done certain things, would I have been happier going down that path that I wanted to go in high school rather than doing this? Yes, you know, like I've thought about it, you know, and my life right now is different than how it was back then. The way I think is also different as well, but I will always have that what if for me.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, you've been living on your own for almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And the change in who you are now is a very prominent change that even I see. And when you made the decision, when you came to talk to me about going back to school, I was surprised to hear that you were going back to school, because I wasn't sure if you were going back to school this year or next year. Because the one thing that I said to you was like, the only thing I want you to do is go back to school and finish it at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that this way you were guaranteed something better for your life than what you had now.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it that made you go back to school?
I didn't want to give up. Like during this entire year that I took off, like pretty much after moving, I questioned every day, and I felt like I was giving up on myself, because I wasn't like, yes, you know, like I needed this time off to really think about everything, about the way I thought, the way I was doing things, the way I was living, pretty much everything about my life. Like I really needed to reevaluate where I was and where I wanted to be. But at the same time, I felt like I really was giving up on myself, because I didn't really get back out there. Because for the past 4 years, it was just school, like, all the way through.
Yeah.
I went, my first year, I went to business school. I didn't like it. Then the second year, I went to a different program into healthcare. And I made it to second year, but I really, really hated it. And then I was like, okay, you know what? That's fine. But at that time, I still had that that mindset of, yes, I'm going to go and do pastry. I'm going to become a baker. I'm going to own my own business. So I went back to business school, but that drained the life out of me. So I guess what made me was that, as like I said, I felt like I was giving up on myself. And because my dad passed away too, I didn't want to fail him.
Yeah.
I felt like I couldn't fail him no matter what.
This episode being about doing things finally for ourselves, the reason why like it came up was because I knew that for the both of us, this was something that the both of us, we could talk about. Mm-hmm. But I was more interested because I knew that you struggled with this a lot, finally doing things for yourself, because majority of our relationship together was us literally sacrificing everything that we had as a couple, mm-hmm. for doing things for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I think that's, I don't want to sound selfish, because it's like I said, I will always help if I can, but during that time, I really wish I hadn't sacrificed so much of us, of myself, of you, because I feel like we wouldn't be where we are now, like so different. I guess, like, I don't want to say certain things, but we wouldn't be so different.
No, and I totally agree. Is that like, and I hear it a lot, okay? And like, people don't understand that when you're in a very specific situation, mm-hmm. that situation drains the life out of you, and it drains your logical thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, like, I had a great career, but hearing your mom talk about, like, shitting on my career every day for literally 3 years straight,
yeah,
fucked with my head so much that I put everything on pause and I decided to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I knew I fucked up my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I finished paying off OSAP. I had no debt.
Yeah, you know what made me sad though? Is that, like, I told you, like, and I'm not mad at you, okay? Is that, like, I remember you finished paying off your debt, but I told you is that unless you wanted to go to school for yourself, because you're the one that has to pay it off, then do it.
Yeah.
And at that time, I didn't realize how badly what my mom was saying really got into your head. Like, I had an idea, but I didn't know to the extent of how bad it was.
Oh, man. Like, and I can be honest about it now, because being away has helped me fix my mentality a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's fixed my mentality to a point where even I understand what went wrong and where it started to go wrong. Was every day hearing your mom shit on my career, shit on everything that I was doing, comparing me to her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And now it became a I knew that I was going to marry you. So I had to do everything to get my mother-in-law to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I was $0 in debt. I had paid off all my previous OSAP before that.
You were so happy about that.
And then I fucked it up by going to behavioral science.
Mm-hmm.
And now I owe, what, 10 G's?
Mm-hmm. That's the same amount that we both owe.
Yeah. And that was the hardest thing, was like being put in a situation that was so toxic that it fucked up everything that I built for myself. Mm-hmm. Literally everything that I built for myself from the beginning of my career up until now. The anxiety, like, this is how bad it was. When living with your mom and hearing what she had to say about my life and about my career, she had never once asked me what I did.
Mm-hmm.
She just shit on my career. She just shit on the fact that I was an entertainment. Never once did she ask me. Never once did she even ask me what I made.
Yeah, that's true.
Never once was she proud of my accomplishments that I had made up until that point. It broke me as a person and built me so much anxiety that when I did go to school, it was so bad that I had to take the GO train and then hit the bus. I had such bad anxiety because of everything. Your mom had broken everything that I was. And I couldn't take the bus and the train unless it was a 5 a.m. when no one was on it. Because I had such bad anxiety.
You stopped after 2 because...
because it got too much. Mm-hmm. Even if there was like 3 people on that train, it was too much for me to be around other people. Mm-hmm. And then it got to a point where going to school and being around other kids, the only way I could cope with it was by being an asshole.
Yeah, you know, I remember you told me that you reconnected with an old classmate.
Yeah.
And then she said that after you had left, no one sat in your seat. That seat was still empty.
Yeah. And like, and this is the thing, like, that's how I knew that, like, I was broken. Because mm-hmm. I started doing things for your mom instead of doing things for me. And like, now that, you know, I'm given this opportunity to walk away, to finally build my life, to revisit the things that I dropped, it feels amazing to finally do it again.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the journey to fully enjoying what we do again is going to be very long.
Yeah.
Because when we do it, we still think about it. We still think about and start questioning our choices on why we do it.
Yeah.
I think that's what is very hard. Even if we are so happy about doing something, you know, the best time ever, we still question it because we're like, oh, is this what we want? Is this how it's going to be like? You know, like always questioning the small things.
And look, and like, and that's why, like, it's still something that I fight to this day. Those traumatic memories and those traumatic moments that have broken my spirit down to the person that I am. Mm-hmm. But the person that I am now is still fighting against those because I know subconsciously the reason why I created this podcast. And the reason why I created this podcast was because, yes, it was therapeutic. This is something that I needed to do for myself. Mm-hmm. But another one was to prove to your mom and prove to those that have doubted me my entire career of helping people. Literally, all I've ever done in my entire career was help people. Mm-hmm. Out of pocket, too.
Yeah.
Was to show them that I could still do what I do. And I'm proud of what I do. Because, like, look, like, it was never an issue with my parents. But it became an issue with your mom about how I was doing things. You know, like my entire career was about helping people. Mm-hmm. But then when your mom started to compare me to her boyfriend, then that's when it started to really fuck me up. Was like, oh, look, like my boyfriend helps people and he makes this much money. You're helping people. What are you making? You're not making shit all. You're making dimes to what he's making. But then as I got to understand how shitty both were, how ungrateful your mom was, how cynical your mom's boyfriend was, my logical side came back and was like, no. Like, you are a lot better human than they are. You are never going to be like them because you shouldn't be like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think your baby sister helped me rebuild. Slowly started to help me rebuild my thought process and who I really was deep down,
mm-hmm.
subconsciously. Because when your baby sister was born, you know, us taking care of her, it helped make me realize what I wanted in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Again. I was lost in that journey for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I'm still lost at the tail end of that journey right now. But I think slowly I'm starting to get to a point where I can be proud of all the work that I've done, all the work that I am doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even for you, I'm proud because you're finally making decisions. And I even told you before that when moving out, the one thing you're going to struggle with is making decisions for yourself.
Yeah, I think those are things that I still struggle with because I'm so used to always helping, always putting myself last. If it's something that is going to make me, you know, sad, that's fine. I was still going to do it. Like, for example, you know, like, I could work at that time. I pulled a double shift, like, 8 hours plus. And I came home from work, you know. My mom, I was, like, exhausted after having a really bad day, especially with customers, all that stuff. And, you know, like, you know, it doesn't seem like much, but at that time, going through everything, still learning about life, you know, like, having someone be like, oh no, what you're doing is not enough.
Yeah.
What you're doing is shit all.
Yeah.
And then still asking for help after, it wasn't great.
No, and I think that's what really broke me near the end of that. Like last year, what really broke me was the hypocrisy that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the hypocrisy of your mom and her boyfriend. And that was when, you know, I made up my mind that you and I, we weren't going to live like that no more. That if you wanted a way out, I was going to give you that way out. And I could carry the burden of the pain and the suffering that your mom was going to go through. And she was going to hate us. And I knew that. But I could go through that because the hypocrisy was too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the one thing that, like, really pushed me was you and I, we raised your baby sister.
Yeah,
okay? Like, even, I don't want to say that your mom didn't, and your mom didn't really have much of a hand in it, but the honest truth of it was you and I, we, For people
who don't have kids, and it's like I say it, and I'm just saying this out there because I don't want people to misinterpret us, is that we will never, ever, ever feel any sort of way for raising my little sister.
Hell,
because man, we love her so much. She's taught us so much about ourselves, so much about each other.
She was the reason why we are still together and why we are married to this day.
Mm-hmm. But for people who don't have kids, we sacrificed a lot. You know, my mom struggled with having a child after
she was
18 years or something.
Because she was basically a single parent for almost 2 to 3 years at that time.
Because
mm-hmm. her boyfriend wasn't in the picture.
Mm-hmm. And so she struggled a lot. So for us, you know, it at that time, after my baby sister grew up a little bit and she went to daycare, we picked her up and dropped her off. Yeah. Always.
We picked her up, dropped her off. Late nights where your mom couldn't handle the stress of your baby sister being up. I would stay up till like 1, 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Your baby sister would wake up at 5, 6 in the morning. She would come straight to me. Mm-hmm. And she would sleep with me, or I would take her downstairs and we would go play. You know, you would cook her food. We would go buy her food. We were the ones teaching her everything that she knew. And these were things that, like, I could not accept the hypocrisy of your mom saying to us that we were shitty people. Mm-hmm. When we were the people that she should have been the most grateful for at that time.
That's true. Is that she still doesn't see what it is that we've done to help her. Is that we've made her life pretty much easier. Everything that she needed to get done, we did it. No questions asked. Why? Because these are things that we knew we kind of... Just to put it simply, we knew we had to do.
And, like, I'll say it from my perspective was, as the outsider who was just dating you at that time.
You shouldn't have done any of this, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but when your dad passed away, I had remembered a lot of what he had said to me. So when he was talking to me, I had realized that your childhood was as great as it could have been. But it was also super fucked up. And it was also very broken.
Yeah.
And so listening to what your dad had taught me, I didn't want your baby sister to be born anything like you and your sister. Anything like how you and your sister were born.
I think that's my fear. That's our fear still now to this day.
Yeah, wholeheartedly, because we understand how toxic your mom is. So what scares me is that child being under the wrath of your mom's toxic behavior. Because mm-hmm. when we were there, it didn't take much for you to say to your mom to just stop and shut up. Or if anything happened, you and I, we would just take her and then, you know, mm-hmm. let your mom do whatever she wanted to. And so that was the starting process for me to kind of just look at myself and be like, damn, like when we left and I had to think about the reason, like we didn't talk to your mom or your sisters for almost a good 7-8 months. Mm-hmm. So from the time we left all the way until December 1st, I remember it, mm-hmm. December 1st, when we contacted your sister, I had that entire time to process what I wanted out of going back. Because we weren't going back for your mom. We were going back for you. The reason why I pushed for you to go back was so that you could have a relationship, even if I wasn't going to have a relationship with them. And to me, that was more important because I grew up with brothers and sisters. I grew up with cousins, and I grew up with, you know, a family that was very family-driven. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want you to be in a family like mine without having your own family behind you so that you weren't alone. You didn't feel alone. Because I knew what that looked like. My mom was like that, you know? So, like, for me, I didn't want you to become like my mom. I didn't want you to be sad when you had family. I wanted you to have family and be happier having more family. Mm-hmm. But now that we've gotten the opportunity to kind of push for things that we wanted to do, I see how strong you are now. Like when you talk to your mom and your mom is wrong, it's not the submissiveness that you used to have with her. Because before, you used to be hella submissive, just, okay. And you would just take it. But now it's like, no, you're wrong. You don't dare say that to me. And then she doesn't say anything. And that's what I love about it, is that like now you've learned to do things for yourself. Now you've learned what all this is.
You know, like, I'm grateful for for everything that I've learned moving after moving out, it's just hard because she will never see it as me growing up to being my own person, to being a stronger person, stronger in a different way than where she is, and much better.
Yep.
She'll never see it, and she'll only see it as defiance,
and
which is hard.
And that's why, like, I'm grateful for my parents as well, because when we made the transition to move, we moved within 3 days of whatever happening.
Yeah.
So within 3 days, the day it happened, I started looking for a place already. And then within the second day, I got the call and I put the down payment on it. And then I got to this place and there was no central AC. The fridge was broken. There was some rotting shit in the fridge. They didn't clean this place. There was cockroaches in it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it wasn't about that. I could deal with that grossness. I could deal with that shit because the shit that you were dealing with was already too much. So I could move to this shitty place because this shitty place compared to that shit place was better.
Yeah.
And I was grateful that my parents understood that, because my parents, we have our traditional teachings.
Yeah.
As my mom and my dad's eldest son, I understood those teachings, that I wasn't supposed to bring my wife here and not live with my parents. That's what we were originally supposed to do.
I think that's what makes it harder too, is that your aunts and uncles and some of your, you know, your cousins are still very much so like old school tradition with that kind of teachings,
and that's why, like, I don't blame them, right? Because for me, that's what I would have wanted, and that's what I would have wanted, was to marry you and to bring you and live with my parents so that you could take care of my parents, and then eventually, yeah, we move out, but to give my parents enough time to see who you were as my wife. But with the situation that we were under, I was grateful that my parents were very understanding and understood what I was trying to do. Because what I wanted to do was to show your mom that the little girl that she thought you were, you weren't that no more. Mm-hmm. That you were an adult. That this shit called real life, we could deal with. We did.
That's why I'm very grateful. And I will always say is that I will always be grateful for my in-laws, for your mom and your dad, always. No, even if, you know, they say things that don't sit right with me as a 21st century raised person, I will always, always, always be grateful for them allowing me, for allowing you to do what we are doing now without, like, hassling us about it, without telling us that we are wrong for doing that.
Yeah. And, like, I think that's why, for me, I understood. I had to understand what my parents were saying to us when we moved here. Like, the hate and resentment that we had for your mom and your sister at that time. When my mom and my dad were talking to us, this was over a period of, like, 6 months, too. This is the constant internal battles that we were having with those resentments. And then when December came, it was kind of just like, okay, are you tired of being resentful? Because I'm tired of it now. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back and at least get your sister. If not your mom, then at least your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back and at least resume that relationship so that you have your sister.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was like, okay, whatever happened between me and your sister, between me and your mom, I could throw that shit out. That was a thing for me. It was like, okay, if you need that relationship, then I will throw it out. I will throw out all the resentment that I have. Because for me, what was important was you having your sisters by your side. And so that was the first step for me of finally doing something for myself, was not holding that resentment and letting it go. And then when I started doing that, it started making me realize that I don't have to do shit that I don't want to anymore. I don't have to do shit that's going to hurt me anymore. I don't have to hold shit that's going to make me rot inside anymore. And if I wanted to be an example for you as your husband, then that was the first step. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, that's why this podcast means so much to me. That's why resuming music means so much to me, and doing what I do for a living means so much to me, because these things are me. If people want to know who I am, then be a part of these processes. Listen to the podcast. Listen to my music. Read my lyrics. You know, come ask me things. Because now the person that I am is the truest person that I have been in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Being in a relationship taught me a lot. Being in a toxic family taught me a lot. Walking away from that toxic family, but still being in love with you, taught me the most. And these are the things that, like, I ended up being very grateful for. And that's why, at the end of the day, like yesterday when I was thinking about what our topic should be for today, I wanted this to be the topic, was because it's to show people that when you think it's hard to let go of these things, resentment, anger, sadness, give yourself the option to walk away. Mm-hmm. Don't walk away and never come back. Walk away so that you can heal. So that when you go back, you're stronger and you will not break. Because I see what you are, and that's what inspired me, was to see how strong you were now. That you, your mom could not tip you over and make you fall anymore. That when it came to you and your sister's relationship and your mom was smack talking it, and you stood up for yourself, okay, that was finally the time that, you know, that was the moment that I realized that's the woman I married. I married the woman that became the strongest version of her that I had ever seen in our 7 years together. That's why if people ask me now, was your relationship worth it? I will 100% say, fuck no, it was not.
No, it's true. It's true. You know, it's like we always say, is that we love each other.
Yeah.
But without a doubt, like, we will ride or die together always. Yeah. It's just there are things in, not things that happened that we think aren't worth it. We shouldn't have gone through certain things for us to be together.
Yeah.
It's the, and you know what's funny was that, like I said it yesterday too, is that no matter how much I love you, I don't think that you being with me, going through all that was worth it, because it only just hurt you more. You know, a lot of people will shit on it for me saying that. A lot of people will say, even for you saying, for saying what you said,
yeah,
a lot of people have said that you've been, that you're a little too cruel and rude about it, but
yeah,
but we both understand.
We both have come to the understanding that if the relationship, if I could go back in time 7 years, and the day that I met you, would I have still dated you, knowing everything that I know, knowing everything that we were going to be put through? Would I have done it? I will 100% say no. And it's not because I don't love you. I think I can say that now, as truthfully and as honest, is because that's how much I love you. Mm-hmm. Was that me disturbing your family's peace was the hardest. And what I mean by that was, I don't think your mom was ready to see another perspective of another flip side of what it was like for her. Because the way you grew up and the way I grew up, the way your mom is, the way my mom is, the way your dad is, and the way my dad is, it's the same damn coin, just a different side. Mm-hmm. And when your mom saw that, I think that's what fucked everything up. Mm-hmm. Was that when your mom would talk about things, I could relate to her and we would talk about it for hours. Mm-hmm. But it was the approach that started to scare her. Because when, like, and I remember this exact conversation was when I told her I started working at 15 and 16. And she asked me, oh, do your mom and your dad not have money? And I said to her, was, my mom and my dad made it very clear they didn't have money. She goes, yeah, I don't want Crystal and, you know, Kimmy to work. And I said to her, why not? You should. If you're struggling, you should. Because that will teach them. Mm-hmm. And then that was when, like, things started to, like, flip for her. It was like, oh, you know, like, I can't do that. You know, like, I would rather struggle and do this and that. And you know. But it made me realize that because my parents did that, it also allowed more time for their kids and them to be together. Mm-hmm. Because now we took the weight off their shoulders and carried a little bit of that burden. Mm-hmm. And that burden, it built us to be a lot more understanding of my parents. Mm-hmm. But when you and your sister, when your dad passed and you two had to grow up, and your mom couldn't come to terms with that part of it, that you two had to grow up. Mm-hmm. That was when things started to fall apart. That was when your mom went like, buck wild on that shit. You know? Mm-hmm. And now that, you know, like I always say is, I'm extremely proud of you and your sister, because now, more than ever, you two have finally made the decision to say fuck it and start doing shit for yourselves.
Yeah. It's very hard too, because we both of us have somebody. Okay, I can't speak for my sister. For me, because I have two little sisters, it's very hard too, is because even if I'm here and, you know, I guess Asian mentality is that, you know, your family is a priority for me. It's hard to not think about my sisters and not worry about it, especially when one is 4 years old.
Yeah.
It's very hard to not worry. Even, you know, through all of this, you know, I could be happy doing what I want to do. But sometimes I feel like maybe I'm worried that there might not be a satisfaction, like me succeeding, because I feel like I'm letting go of something. Like, does that make sense?
You know, and it makes 100% sense, because even when you were going to school, when you were living with your mom and you were going to school, you sacrificed a lot of your own time going to school to come back and to do shit for your sisters.
I mean, that was pretty much
And that's why you flunked for like 2-3 years straight, was because if it came to your baby sister and your mom couldn't do it, you knew your mom was going to either hire someone that wasn't going to love them or is going to be you. And so you made it the only option that it was going to be you.
I mean, I had two sisters to worry about. Exactly. I know that my middle sister, she wasn't ready to handle that responsibility. So it was the obvious choice it had to be me. Even if school was far away, because school was 30, like during my second year when I moved moved to a different program, school was 30 minutes away, 30, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that means that from class, even if I had to go to class at 8 and it finished till, let's say I had a double class that day. After class, maybe I had work. Go to work, then after work, come back home, take care of her, pretty much till she was ready to go to sleep. But at that time, she was an infant, too. She was, like, under two.
Yeah.
So it wasn't... I wasn't ready for that, definitely.
No, and that's why now, more than ever, like, I'm so proud, because you're making these decisions for yourself. And it's like I said, too, is... It's not that we're going to let go of your family. It's not.
It's time away that I'm worried about. Is that when I...
Wholeheartedly. But that's why, like, I've always said to you is, don't think of it that way. Think of it as, we will be there when they call. But we cannot be there for every second and every moment of their lives, especially now, because I need you to focus on your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Because... your mom does not respect your life.
No, she
doesn't. So build your life. Build a life that is respected by others, because you don't need that woman's respect. Other people will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
If your sister follows suit, then you don't need the respect of your mom. You have your sister.
You know, like, trying to pave a path to show my sisters that there's something outside of that home is very hard. Because they both live with her. And the way she goes about things is like head in, very strong.
And like, that's why for me, I made it a point in my life to work extremely hard for everything that I want in my life. And everything that I want, I'm going to achieve one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I won't, it's that I will. I know I will. But it will take time for me to achieve it. And, you know, like, I try to teach your baby sister and your middle sister something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it was your mom that kept bragging about her boyfriend being so this and that. But to me, that was the beginning of this whole mentality that not all good people that put up a good front are good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to show your sisters and to give your sisters a new outlook on life that you don't need to put up this front.
Mm-hmm.
Not all heroes wear damn capes. Not all heroes are seen. Not all your actions will be seen in life and need to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Just work hard at being good for yourself. And one day someone will see it. Someone will see it and they'll love you for it.
That's true.
And these are things that, you know, are actions that I take forward now for my own life.
Mm.
That I can be proud of, that I can bring forward and teach people.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that when I look at you and I look at your sister, your middle sister, now that she's in university, you know, pushing for her life. I want you to do the same. Push for your life. Push for the life that you want, not the one that your mom is in a vision for you so that she can be a part of it and brag about it to every single person that's there. Because that's the one thing that Asian people do that is like the most fucking toxic shit in the world.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's why... I remember, like, talking on the episode, I don't know if we've done it, about success, is that, like, my measure of success isn't based on materialistic things.
Yeah.
It's how happy I am in that moment. If I'm the happiest I can be, even if I'm not working, even if it means, yes, I've accomplished something, but I decided I want to be home and take care of our kids, take care of our parents... that is still successful to me, regardless of whatever it is that how my mom feels. It's because I put myself first. I did what I needed to do for myself to get to where I am.
No, and that measure there is something that every individual will have to find for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The measure of success and the measure of happiness for yourself. Because everyone's happiness is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my happiness now is no longer doing stuff for other people. I've done that for 8 years. I'm tired of it. My success and my happiness now is doing these things for myself. Mm-hmm. Because now, you know, I've built this platform for myself.
It's true.
I've built a podcast platform where I can be the most honest and truthful person that I can be. And that's what makes me happy. It's to share to people that I'm not a, number one, I ain't a good guy. Number two, I wasn't always the most responsible. And number three, I'm just a straight up asshole. But these things make me who I am. Mm-hmm. And I want to be proud of that now. I want to be proud of the person that I am instead of being put down every time. I want to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And now that we're at a point in our lives as a married couple too, where we're finding who we are and putting into action these things that we want in our lives, it's going to build a better life. Mm-hmm. I don't need your mom to be, I don't need your mom to tell us she's proud. I don't need your mom to tell us that, you know, she respects what we do. I don't need that no more. That is no longer something that is there for me to think about.
Yeah.
What I want is for the people that are closest to me to be happy, because when they look at us, we are who we are meant to be. Mm-hmm. And we are happy doing that.
To be happy for us and with us too.
Yeah. Especially now, because more than ever, when you picked what you wanted to go to school for, it was something that even I was kind of like thrown off. Because I would have never thought it.
I think my thought process on picking that was, I thought about everything that I wanted to do as a kid. You know, it sounds silly to go back to something where, like, in grade one or two, you know, but they were still dreams of something that I wanted to one day accomplish, you know, even then. So I started thinking about every single thing that I wanted to do. And then I thought about how, when I brought it up, I never got the approval that I was seeking for.
Yeah.
So I just put it to the side. And then I went to high school. My first year of high school was amazing. And I will always say it was amazing. Went to school for the arts and culture program, but for singing.
Yeah.
I wanted to become a singer. That didn't work out, you know, because there was no approval. And I just, I thought about it so often was, what is it that I wanted to do? How am I as a person? I thought about it and I was like, I'm a very creative person. I enjoy doing all that. And so I thought about, I started thinking about every single thing. And then just somehow, you know, I ended up right there. And I, you know, looked into it. I researched it. And I, even if it's going to be a hard path, I still was going to be happy because this was what I decided to do. And, you know, like, I talk to you about it all the time, is that I'm scared that, am I going to regret it? Because I've made so many sacrifices, so many wrong decisions. Is this going to be it? And you know, like, we've talked about it many times, is that even if I go to school for this, I might not end up doing it. A lot of people go to school for being a doctor, being a lawyer, being an entrepreneur, being a singer, whatever it is out there. They end up doing something else afterwards because they just did it just to do it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, right, is what people need to now understand is that that's kind of how life works, is mm-hmm. that you might go to school for one thing. Like, I went to school for television broadcasting. I'm a damn entrepreneur. I'm a damn business owner now. Mm-hmm. I do fucking podcasting.
Yeah.
That shit doesn't come with what you go to school for.
Of course.
But what you need to understand is that school is only the starting point to a new journey. Mm-hmm. How you get from one end to the other, that's just your journey and how you decide to go about it. Mm-hmm. You're going to meet people. You're going to network with people. And those people, they're going to pique your interest at some point in your life. That's and true. You're going to follow that suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do, it's going to get to a point where it's like, oh, I like what I'm doing, but I don't like certain aspects of that. Okay, let's take it down another route.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want from you now is to go down that journey instead of being told what your journey is. Because
mm-hmm.
your entire life was being told what to do and how to do it. Was always being compared to someone else or being compared to someone else's money.
Yeah.
And that itself is so toxic. I talk about mental health. I talk about like toxic behavior. I'm an advocate because I've seen that shit firsthand.
There's a lot of things that you've seen living there. And it's just one of those things that I don't think I'll ever stop seeking my own parents' approval. Even if my dad is not here, I don't think I'll ever stop, because I see it all the time, you know, when my mom fights with me and, you know, she always, you know, says stuff to me. I always say, Mom, I do this because I want you to be proud of me. Yeah. I want you to be proud of the person that I am or who I will be.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of how many times we fight, I want you to be proud,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because even if I fail, Mom, a lot of people out there, the most successful people probably are college dropouts, mm-hmm. even high school dropouts. But they're successful because of the people that were there with them, you know? That supported them.
That pushed them.
Through every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I want for your life, because I know how you are. It's like you've said, you've always sought for your mom's approval.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the only way to get that approval is to no longer go down the path that she wants, but is to do what you want successfully at 100%.
That's true. You know, I think right now is that, yes, you know, regardless, I want her to be proud, but I'm not openly seeking for it. I'm not, mm-hmm. I'm not begging for it like how I did before. No. As sad as that sounds, is that you should never beg your parents to be proud of every step that you do, you know? But I don't openly do that anymore.
No, and I think that's something that comes with maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've grown a lot you've grown a lot within the year of just leaving. The person that you were and the person that you are now are two very different people. You've become a lot more understanding of your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You've become a lot more understanding of your words. And you've become a lot more understanding of people's situations. Like, even now with your relationship with your mom, you're still able to reason and find the seed to what your mom is trying to say to your sister, and still able to relay that without being angry at your mom for what she's done to you or what she's said to you. That is called maturity. That is called understanding past what you feel.
Mm-hmm. Is that even if I feel it's wrong, I know that, it's like I said, even if we talk about all these negative things about my mom, is because, yes, you know, she has done a lot to traumatize us, but we cannot deny the fact that she still does it because she's still a parent. I know that
she's still a mother.
Even for me, you know, like, even later on when we have kids, I'll probably do something ridiculous like that too, you know, like, not to that extent, but still something silly, because I know that I do it out of concern for my kids, because I still want the best for them. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to that extent. But the intention of, because me, I am your parent, that I get.
Yeah. And I think that maturity, like, it started to build in you when your baby sister was there, because
I just want her to be happy. Like, me and my sister both have lived it. We've seen we've gone through emotional and mental scarring, physical too. Like, that's just the aftermath of it, is that when she came along, I just wanted her to be happy. Yeah. I just want her to live the life that she wants to live. And that's why I will never give up, ever, because I want to pave that path for them.
And like, that's why I try to constantly better my thought process, better my thinking, better myself every day, is because your baby sister, just the way she looks at me and the way she calls for me when she sees me, I can't be that person that resents her mom and her dad. Those are her mom and her dad. And I've always said it to you, and I've always said it to, I've even said it to your mom, I don't like your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But that little baby of yours, that daughter, that's her dad. So I will never, never say anything in front of her about her dad. Mm-hmm. I will never, ever, ever hurt that baby emotionally, physically. That baby is my life. And in that life, she needs a mom and a dad. Because when I look at you and your sister, and you guys don't have a dad, that is a lot of trauma that burdened you guys growing up. And it fucked you guys up. It fucked you guys up a lot. And
as someone who had... more so than my sister. Because, you know, she was very young.
She was very young. And that burden that I took to be there to help as much as I could, I don't want someone to do that either. I don't want someone to be put in my shoes and to be put in your shoes. So the way your baby sister is going to be raised, it's like you and I have always said, it's going to be the best between all of you guys.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, a lot of our family tells us that we shouldn't interfere and that we shouldn't be meddling because, you know, she's not ours. But it's so hard not to. Like, you know what I mean?
It's hard because, and when I say it's hard, and what some people, you know, we've said it in other podcast episodes, is for the first two to three years of her life, her dad wasn't in the picture. And your mom was like in and out. So it was us that took care of her. So for you to say that we are not to be involved, then all I can say is, how can I not be? I raised a kid. I raised that kid to a point where at one point in her life, she did call me dad. So how can someone tell me not to be involved? How can someone tell me not to love her the way I love her? You cannot say that to me. Those are things to me that have made me who I am to this day. I am a lot more understanding. I am the better person that I am now because of her.
You know, that's why we try so hard to do things for ourselves so that we can become stronger. We can be in a better place, a better situation, so that we can be there for her and show her the other side of things. Mm-hmm. That's why we push so hard. Even if there are days where we just are like really down, the next day we get back up and we push harder because we can't give up.
Yeah.
We can't.
Because if we give up, I think you and I, we've come to a point where we understand that if we give up, we're not giving up on ourselves anymore. Mm-hmm. We're giving up on the people that
need us.
Need us. We're giving up on the people that need us. We're giving up on each other. And when you do that, you are the foundation to things that you may not know exist. Mm-hmm. And when you break those foundations, you break the people that are on it. Mm-hmm. And that's what you and I think, have come to realize. Whether it be one person, two people, or the people that you are going to meet, those are the people that need you. Mm-hmm. To say that you are unimportant is wrong. You are important to someone. And that's what we've come to, is trying to build a meaningful life so that we can teach others to focus and build their own lives as well. Mm-hmm. For today's episode, we wanted to be able to teach all of you that no matter how hard things are, it's not a dead end. Many times we've thought we've hit a dead end. Many times we've thought this was it. But keep fighting. Fight till you see the small, small speck of light at the end of that tunnel. It's not going to be big. You're barely going to see it. But fight until you see it. Fight, because if you stop, you'll have given up on yourself and you'll have given up on those that are around you. This is going to be all for today's episode. We hope you took away from our stories and from our journey, from our perspective on the way we've lived our life so far. We are still young ourselves. So what we say, one day we will probably revisit and change everything we've said. Mm-hmm. This is just us. This is what perspective is. This is what growth is. This is what maturity is. So understand that what we say is because where we are at in life right now has led us up to this point. Thank you so much for listening and chiming in. This is your host and co-host signing off.